else have a blessed day in the Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Let's go ahead and welcome our visitors.
We want to welcome
you.
To the United Baptist Church.
United Baptist Church.
We want to welcome.
We want to welcome
to the church where Jesus Christ is first.
To the church where Jesus Christ is first.
We're saving souls.
We're saving souls.
Again, I want to remind you all this afternoon at 5 o'clock, all roads lead to the New Hope Baptist Church. It's right down the street. We're having a citywide Thanksgiving service. The service starts at 5 p.m. Again, down at the New Hope Baptist Church. Several of the churches across the city are coming together. Churches such as ours, New Hope, Mount Calvary, Christ Center Church, Greater Galilee, St. Paul Baptist Church, Mount Haven Baptist Church. We're all coming together. Akron Missionary Baptist Church, all coming together to cohesively as a body tell God thank you. So please come out this afternoon, 5 o'clock. I share with 8 o'clock. I'll share with you all too. For some of you all who already said, well, Pastor, I've already been in church today. Some of us, I was here at 8 o'clock and 11. Well, thank God for you. We want to come back out at 5 o'clock. Amen. Now, here, Pastor trying to help you, so here's what we did. If you heard any announcement, we canceled Power Hour, prayer meeting, and Bible study on Wednesday. Amen. So 5 o'clock this afternoon, for many of you, is going to be your Bible study. Amen. Or your Power Hour. Amen. So we want to come out and we want to thank God together. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 18. It's good to see my brother and my friend, Brother Marquis Johnson, here sharing with us today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's in Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica that he writes, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated in the presence of the living God. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in or through Christ Jesus concerning you. For just a little while on this afternoon, I want to talk from the topic, in everything. In everything. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude or thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. But if one were to look at what's going on in our society today, one could make the claim that there is truly nothing to be thankful for. One does not need but to turn on the television in order to hear just how much of an ordeal is going on in the lives of so many. The question I can hear many people pose today is, how can one be thankful when terrorists are going around killing innocent people all over the world? How can one be thankful when their marriage is falling apart? How can one be thankful when they are faced with the reality of job loss? How can one be thankful when their home is being foreclosed on? How can one be thankful when their bills still outweigh their income? How can one be thankful with all the senseless violence that is still going on in our neighborhoods and our communities? How can one be thankful when it looks like every day I get worse news and not better news? How can one be thankful? Not much in our society today seems to offer a sense of stability. When one looks at their own circumstance, which could be any of the circumstances I listed, one tends to wonder if the idea of being thankful is even warranted. It's easy to talk about being thankful, but it becomes a whole other ordeal when you try and convince somebody in the midst of all the issues in their lives that a thanks is warranted in spite of where you are. But for those of us who have a relationship with the Lord, a different perspective is being demanded of us. We who have accepted Christ as our personal Savior have been impacted by some of these same realities that I just mentioned. But our response is forever based upon the fact that God is still in control of everything. I feel like I just need to let somebody know early this afternoon that despite what your situation or your circumstance presently looks like, God is still in control of everything. And since that be the case, we learn to show thanks unto God no matter what's happening in our lives. Our expression of thanks unto God, no matter what happens, speaks to our trust and dependence in God to make everything work out all right. Our approach is an expression of gratitude. That gratitude is hinged on what God has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do. Our thanks is tied up in the fact that we have too much empirical evidence of what a Savior like ours is capable of. When we as believers look at any situation, we have a thanks anyhow reflection of the matter. That's why when a believer starts to think about what they're going through, the reason why they can still say thank you, God, despite what they're going through, is because the reality is they got so much empirical evidence in their lives of just how good God is, they still can't help but tell God thank you despite what they're going through. I'm just wondering, is there anybody besides me who has some empirical evidence in your life and you know God is deserving of your thanks? I think I'll ask the question again. Is there anybody besides me who knows you have some empirical evidence in your life and you know that God is deserving of your thanks? I understand some of you are looking at me and saying, well, Pastor, what kind of empirical evidence do I have that I should be telling God thank you? I'm so glad you asked. If He woke you up this morning, you ought to tell Him thank you. If He started you on your way,
you ought to tell him thank you. If you still had a roof over your head last night, you ought to tell him thank you. If you went to sleep last night, but God let you wake up this morning, you ought to tell him thank you. If you still had food on your table, you ought to tell him thank you. When you got up this morning, if you were able to put your own feet on the floor without any assistance, you ought to tell God thank you. When you got up out the bed and went and turned the light switch on and the lights came on, you ought to tell God thank you. When you walked into the bathroom and turned the water on and the water got hot, you ought to tell God thank you. When you walked into your closet and you had a choice of what you were going to put on, you ought to tell God, is there anybody besides me who knows that you've got a reason?
This notion, I feel like preaching, this notion of giving thanks is what is exposed here in this text. It's here in the text that Paul is addressing the church at Thessalonica. Paul wanted the people to know that there's a behavior that believers are to always maintain. No matter what may come upon them, there was a stand or a disposition that should always be presented by those who love the Lord. Despite what issues or instances are placed in their midst, Paul wanted the people to be able to stand firm and still exude with confidence that which identifies a believer. Paul knew for himself that challenges would arise, that sometimes could make a person reevaluate their position. If things got bad enough in the life of a person, they would tend to focus on the negative and then either utter or display an attitude that falls in line with the problem that is confronting them. And that is the reality in too many people's lives, that a lot of times when trouble shows up in our life, or hardship shows up in our life, or a struggle shows up in our lives, our focus tends to shift to the problem or the issue in our lives rather than the problem solver we always have in our lives. Paul wanted the people to understand that believers carry with them a peculiar perspective on all matters. Paul's main subject here is thanksgiving. Here he is giving a series of important brief commands to the Thessalonian believers. Notice the important sentiments offered here between verses 16 and 18. Paul tells the people, if you look right there in the text, first of all, he tells them, you ought to rejoice always, pray continually, and think in everything. The first challenge we receive is to rejoice always. Paul addresses the subject of joy over 24 times in his letters. It is the dominant theme of Philippians, where he tells us, rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. The word always is a favorite of Paul's in 1 Thessalonians. He uses it 4 other times. It means on every occasion, or in every set of circumstances. In other words, joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is deeper than happiness. You see, happiness relates to what I'm going through. And if I'm going through something, if it's good, I'll be happy. If it's not good, I'll be unhappy. But joy is not related to the circumstances of life. It is anchored to our relationship with God. In other words, joy is not based on the situation in which we find ourselves in. Joy is based on the fact that we are in Christ. And what we are experiencing is the will of God in our lives. Because we belong to God and he is working his purpose in and through us, we can possess genuine joy. This is why one can proclaim this joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. With joy, we should be spiritually magnetic and infectious. You see, when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, then you can walk around and bless people rather than curse them. When you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you can encourage rather than
tear down. When you got the joy of the Lord, you give hope rather than despair. In Life Church, we got to learn how to exercise our joy muscles. Yeah. When we exercise our joy muscles, when we grow stronger in the Lord and we exercise the joy that's on the inside, then we can always have an optimistic outlook. When you flex your joy muscles, you always have a sense of hope. When you flex your joy muscles, there's a winning spirit because we understand that God is able. Yeah. I say anytime we look at the situation, we feel like it's going to be all right because we have the mentality, we have the understanding that God is, hey, somebody didn't get it. I say when we confront what we're going through, we already know it's going to be all right because we understand and we realize that God is. Is there anybody besides me who knows that God is? Therefore, because I know God is able, I'm able to declare things like, after all the things I've been through, I still have. Is there anybody besides me who don't mind testifying this afternoon and saying, after all the things I've been through, after all the hell I've been through, after all the issues I've been through, after all the problems I've been through, after folk have talked about me and put me down, after all the things I've been through, somebody ought to shout, I still have joy. The second command says to pray continually. There's an intimate connection between verses 16 and 17. For unceasing prayer will almost always produce a joyful heart. A heart full of joy is the result of a heart free of burdens. And a heart free of burdens is a heart comforted by prayer. The verse challenges us to be constant and consistent in our prayer life. Prayer is to be a regular habit, a close companion. But the problem we have in the church today is prayer is not constant or consistent. It is not a regular habit for so many believers. It is not a close companion. Because you see, when you talk to God more, when you talk to God more and you allow God to talk to you more, you get a different perspective about the things that are going on in your life. But if you don't talk to God on a regular basis and you don't allow him to talk to you, you still react the way you used to react because you don't have a different perspective about the things that you're going through. I'm trying to help somebody right in through here. You see, when you have a relationship, anybody besides me ever been in a relationship before? The way that a relationship works effectively is if the two people in the relationship communicate. The only way that the relationship can move forward and grow is if the two people in the relationship communicate. If the two people in the relationship never communicate, how in the world is the relationship going to last? Can I bring it a little closer? In other words, how are you going to form a relationship with a person if you meet them on Monday and you don't ever talk to them again until 2 weeks later? Oh, but wait a minute. Let me bring it a little closer. How do you expect a relationship to grow with somebody if the only time you talk to them is 2 hours on Sunday? And then you don't talk to them again until 2 hours the next Sunday. And then you don't talk to them again until 2 hours next Sunday. That's if you ain't took your sabbatical. But when I'm in a relationship, if I want the relationship to work, me and the person I'm in the relationship with, we have to tell your neighbor, communicate. And the thing is, when you communicate with God and you let God communicate with you, he will show you some things. Oh, God. Yeah. A writer said that prayer can be understood essentially as a breathing exercise. When we inhale, we listen to the voice of God in his word through the Holy Spirit's illumination. And when we exhale, we speak back to the Lord, sharing our heart, telling him what is on our mind. The word for prayer is a general one that implies a worshipful approach to God. We should regularly come into the presence of our Lord, praising him. honoring him, adoring him for who he is and all that he has done. Because we do understand that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Now the problem that I have with the New Age Church, Terrence, is we don't come to God in a worshipful approach. We come to God like he owe us something. Yeah. We show up in our prayer life like, God, I need you. You better do this. You better fix this. You better put this back together. You better help this person. You better bring this person out. And I have to just assume in my own spiritual imagination that God is looking at you like, who are you talking to? Do you talk to your mother and father like this? So he says, if we're going to go to God, we have to first understand who he is. And based on who he is, when I come to him in honor and glory and respect based on who he is. But then here's the thing, the more I communicate with him, the more he exposes me to what he's done. Oh, God. Ah, Jesus. Yeah. You see, the more you expose to what God has done in your life, the more you start to realize that when you come up against other things in your life, you understand that the same God that was able to do it last time, you understand that the same God that was able to handle it the last time, you understand that the same God that was able to fix it the last time, you understand that the same God that was able to make it all right the last time, you understand that the same God that was able to heal you the last time, you understand that the same God that was able to put the family back together the last time is able to do it.
Yeah. I hear grandmama say that just a little talk with Jesus still makes everything all right. Paul is talking about, y'all all right, H.O.? Paul is talking about a continual attitude for believers, an attitude of the heart. But how, you may wonder, can we have this attitude always, continually, and especially in everything? The believer, the answer lies in our perspective of the things that occur in our life. To be thankful in everything, we need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. Only then will we be able to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in everything. Y'all all right? So as Paul begins to unpack this thing, he shares three things with us that will help us to be able to give thanks in everything. Here's the first thing that Paul lets us know. He lets us know that thanksgiving is appropriate in every occasion. Yeah, thanksgiving, I'll give it to you again. Thanksgiving is appropriate in every occasion. Yeah, the text says, in everything, give thanks. No exceptions, no excuses. Nothing is outside those parameters. In everything, give thanks. That little phrase in the Greek means in connection with everything that occurs. In connection with everything in life, give thanks, no matter what it might be. The second thing you need to pick up about that is that give thanks is not optional. It's a command. This command is present tense. So the instruction is to keep on giving thanks. Paul is not saying give thanks for everything, but give thanks in everything. There's a difference. To give thanks for everything is a matter of surrendering to those things in a passive way. So if I give thanks for everything, at times what I can do is be passive in what's happening in my life. And what I'm saying is that I'm going to accept being in a place that I ain't supposed to be, and I'm just going to become thankful in a lesser place because I'm trying to give thanks for everything. He says, don't give thanks for everything. He says, you got to give thanks in everything. Because to give thanks in everything is a bold act of victoriousness, overcoming faith that recognizes that all is not as it should be, but that God is still on the throne and he's able to bring about good through what seems to be bad. Yeah, in every circumstance, no matter what or where, we can still thank God.
That's God's imperative to the believer. Paul is speaking here of a life marked by thanksgiving. Not everything that happens to us is good, but God does use everything that happens to us to work out for our good. God's will regarding thankfulness is not limited, but it is for all of his people. It would be easy for us to look and say, well, how could Paul say this? Paul is the one who established churches, so Paul always had it good. The devil is a liar. As Paul is writing to the whole church, he begins to, or if you look at Paul, you would understand that Paul didn't have it easy all the time. He had chances where he could have felt sorry for himself, but Paul decided not to. You see, the Jews sought to put Paul to death. The Romans hunted him like a dog and imprisoned him with chains. Even his best friends deserted him, yet he gave thanks for everything because he knew God is in control of whatever might happen to him. You see, Paul was the one who wrote and decided, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul already had a made-up mind that despite what I go through, I still will give God thanks in everything. Even in the pits of a jail, I can still thank God, because I understand that the jail is not my final resting place, but that God is going to do some things in my life. Thanksgiving is appropriate in every occasion, but then thanksgiving should abound naturally in every believer. God not only deserves our thanks, he desires them. He wants us to be grateful for his goodness and not to take it for granted. He wants us to be grateful for his goodness and not to take it for granted. He wants us to be grateful for his goodness and not to take it for granted. Some of y'all starting to get it. I said, he wants us to be grateful for his goodness and not to take it for granted. So that leads me to ask the question, is there anybody in here who knows that God is good? I think I'll ask the question again. I'll try this side of the room. Is there anybody here who knows that God is good? I'll try the top overflow. Is there anybody back there who knows that God is good? Maybe I'll try the main sanctuary. Is there anybody in the main sanctuary who knows that God is good? Now here's the thing. I didn't ask you to look at your situation and then make a determination if God was good. I said, is there anybody who knows that despite what I'm going through, despite what I'm dealing with, despite what's in front of me, God is still good? I hear old folks say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You see, they understood it mattered not what I go through. God is still good. It doesn't matter if today's my best day or today is my worst day. God is still good. Whether I got money in my pocket or I'm dusty broke, God is still good. Whether it's raining or the sun is shining, God is still good. Whether I got 500 friends, I only got 2 friends, God is still good. Is there anybody who knows that God is? Now here's the thing you got to get. Because when you understand how good God is, you understand that God has not just been good today, but God was good yesterday. Oh, God. Yes, Charlotte Wade, when I started to think back over my life, I started to realize some things. I started to realize that God wasn't just good to me after I became saved or after I knew him for myself. But I started to discover that God had been good a long time. Pastor, how do you know that God had been good for a long time? Because when I was out there doing what I wanted to do, he could have struck me down at any moment, at any instant, at any occasion. But God decided, I'm going to give them another chance. And every chance that God has given me, I've already determined that God must have been good. Got it. I gotta go. Thanksgiving should be a natural response to the grace and goodness of a great and wonderful God who cares and provides. Thanksgiving should overflow from the life of the believer. Throughout Scripture, we see the appeal for one to give thanks to God. You see, if you were able to look through Scripture, if you read your Bible every now and then, if you would pick it up off the table, dust it off every now and then, open up the pages, you might discover some things. I'm sorry, I got to get to the New Age people. If you go to your app store and put in Holy Bible in your app store, there are a whole lot of free Bibles in your app store that you could download to your phone. And when you download it to your phone, all you have to do is open up the Bible on your phone or your iPad or your Android device. And if you read your Bible, it will share some things with you that will help you along the way. You see, if you had opened up your Bible every once and again, you would discover that in 1 Chronicles 16 and 34, that it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I hear the psalmist say in 95 and 2, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him." I hear the psalmist in 104 say, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Can I go a little further? I hear the psalmist in 105 and 1 say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." I hear 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 saying, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I hear 2 Corinthians testify and say, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I hear Ephesians jump in at 5 and 20 and say, "Give me thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I hear Colossians jump in 3 and 15 and say, "And let the peace of God rule our hearts, to which also you were called one body, and be ye thankful." I hear Colossians 3 and 17 say, "And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto God the Father through him." I hear Colossians 4 and 2 testify, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving." I just simply stop by to tell somebody, you ought to be thankful. You ought to thank God every chance you get. In fact, I need somebody in this house today to decide in your own mind and in your own heart that I will thank the Lord.
I got a vendor. Hey, I got a. We got a. Thanksgiving is appropriate in every occasion. Thanksgiving must abound in every believer. But then finally, you got to get this. Thanksgiving is authorized by an eternal God. Yeah. The text says, "In everything give thanks." We read that part. But then, Terrence, the rest of the verse says, "For it is the will of God." Jesus. "In everything give thanks. For it is the will God through Christ Jesus concerning." Is that in? "It is the will of God concerning you." Yeah. I hear so many people come to me every now and then, Sister Sykes, and they say, "Pastor, I don't know what is God's will for my life." And my first answer to them is typically, "I don't know what it is either." But here is one will I know God has for you. And this will says, "In everything." In other words, God is saying, "My will for you is, despite what you're going through, Stand in what you're going through. And in the midst of what you're going through, begin to thank me. Now, yeah, you see the problem. The problem many people have is when they encounter something that their first reaction is to begin to criticize or to complain or to grumble about what they're in. But God is saying, if you have a relationship with me, your thought process is different when you find yourself in situation. He says, when you find yourself in situation, that you have the ability down on the inside to be in the midst of your situation. And right there in the midst of your situation, you can still throw up your hands, throw back your head, and tell God thank you, because you understand that what you're in does not define or decide where you're going. Despite what you're in right now, I dare somebody to have a made-up mind and begin to thank God despite what you're in. I need some people who are in some stuff right now to have a made-up mind this afternoon that despite what I'm in right now, I still choose. I still have the ability to begin to thank God despite what I'm in. Can we go on and finish this thing? The totality of the matter is that we are called on to give thanks of to God in everything. That means no matter what's going on in our lives, we still have the obligation to give thanks unto God, because the truth of the matter is, no matter what I'm going through, all of my good days still outweigh my bad days. Therefore, I will say thank you. Every day we allow to see another sunrise. This is a day of thanksgiving. When we look at our lives, we've got so much to be thankful for. In fact, on today, we as believers should decide for ourselves that no matter where I am, we choose to tell God, thank you. Do I have any people under the sound of my voice who don't mind telling God, thank you? How about today we make the enemy mad? How about today we let God know just how thankful we are? I dare you today to begin to think back over your life and remember all the things you used to do. Remember all the places you used to go. Remember all the people you hooked up with. Remember all the lies you told. Remember all the people you slept with. Remember all the stuff you drank. Remember how much you smoked. Thank God right now, because when you think about where you used to be and you look at where you are right now, you ought to begin to tell God thank you. You ought to tell him thank you that you didn't leave me where I used to be. Thank you that I don't have the same mind that I used to have. Thank you for taking me away from the people I used to hang with. Thank you that I no longer have the desire to do what I used to do. But then there are a few other people in God's house that after you think about where you used to be, you begin to think about where you are right now. And when you look at where you are right now, you ought to begin to tell God thank you for where he has you right now. Now here's the thing that ought to blow your mind, because you can think back, and for some of us, where we used to be is better than where we are right now. But did you understand that every now and then, in order for you to get to the next place that God has for you, you got to thank him for where you used to be, even if it was better than where you are right now? Because where you used to be, for some of us, was on the mountaintop. But right now, as we look at our lives, we're in the valley. We're struggling in the valley. We're dealing with this in the valley.
But I've learned in my valley experiences that I should still thank God in the valley, because I found out that not only is he the God of the mountain, but he's also God in the valley. Is there anybody thankful to God that he's still with you in the valley? I dare you to thank him for every bill. Thank him for every disconnect notice. Thank him for every problem. Thank him for every trial. Thank him for every time you were locked up. Thank him for your valley. Because the reality is, you can't get excited about the next mountaintop until you get excited about your valley. Somebody ought to thank God for what you're going through. And you ought to tell the enemy, the reason I can thank God based on where I am right now is because God is not through with me yet. Somebody ought to thank God. Now let's thank him for where we're going. Let's thank him for where we're headed. Somebody thank God that the best is yet. Let's thank him. Let's thank him today. Let's thank Jesus. In fact, I dare you to get with somebody next to you and tell them, I don't know what God is about to do, but I will thank God for what he's going to do. I thank him for the way he's about to make. I thank him for the door he's going to open. I thank him for the healing that's going to happen. I dare you to thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Grab hold of somebody around you and just grab them and say, God, thank you. 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 Devil thought he had him, but God, thank you. Thought it was over, but God, thank you. Looked like it would never work out, but God, thank you. 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 Thank you.
In everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, I know what it's like not to have anything. and still tell God thank you. Why? Because at times in my life I've been at the place where it looked like I wasn't going to make it. Where I wondered where my next meal was going to come from. Where I wondered how this issue was going to be resolved. And yet I can stand and tell you today that in all those moments, God never failed. Huh. Yeah, see, some of y'all got to learn to thank him in everything. You thank him in the ramen noodles times. Some of my college students know what it's like to spend your nights eating some ramen noodles, eating some mayonnaise sandwiches. So in everything I've learned to give thanks. Because how can I thank him when he blesses me with a new house if I didn't have enough sense to thank him even when I was in Section 8? See, can I help you? We got to go. But listen, just because you find yourself at this moment in your life having to be in Section 8 don't mean you have to have a Section 8 mentality. Now, God. Yeah. See, what you ought to do is let the folk down at AMHA know I'm just passing through. Every time they renew you, tell them thank you. I'm gonna take it, but just know I'm just passing through. Yeah, see that's how you learn to give thanks in everything. So that when you find yourself at a jobless point in your life, you let the joblessness know I'm. It ain't that I won't have the trouble. It's just I got the mentality now that when the trouble shows up, I can let the trouble know at the beginning. Trouble, I'm just. So I don't get mad about my valleys anymore. I look at my valleys a little different because David already told me that God is with me in the valley. And that when I go through the valley, that I'm going through. Oh, God. Therefore, I got to tell my valley experience, thank you for every step. Thank you for every hope. Thank you for every struggle. Thank you for every hurt. Thank you for every pain. Thank you for every time when I'm staying up late at night. Thank you for times when it seems like I'm losing it. Because I understand that I'm just passing. And when I get to the other side, I'll be better. I'll be stronger. So I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every day. It's just another opportunity for me to take a few more steps. Every day. Enemy, I might come with a different trick, a different attack. But when I make it through it, I'm going to show up the next day. And I'm going to remind him and I'm going to tell him I'm still going to thank God in everything. See? Okay, we got to go after this. Look, the next time the bill collector calls you and you know you owe him. Can we just be real? That ain't the devil. You owe them people. Ain't no sense of you getting mad at them people for calling you You owe them. But how about this for a change, for someone who gives thanks? When they do call you, let them know, ma'am, sir, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pastor, how can you say thank you? Because they are reminding me not only of my trial, but they are reminding me of the triumph that's coming. So I'm not going to, thank you, God. I am not going to keep trying to avoid the trial or avoid the trouble. I need to deal with the trial. I need to deal with the trouble. I need to confront it. I need to deal with it. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do. And then I'm going to tell them, thank you for calling. Thank you for helping me. And thank you for keeping me on my knees. Thank you for reminding me that I can do better than this. Thank you for reminding me that this ain't gonna be always, because I'm gonna deal with it now. See, what the enemy tries to tell us from time to time is if you just keep avoiding your trial, it'll leave you. The devil is a liar. The more you avoid it, the more you can never get from it what you need to get. I'm going to throw my finance hat on just for a second. I never figured out how I could get out of debt until I decided to start paying my bills. Little by little, payment by payment. Time before that, I was trying to avoid it. Not answer my phone, pretend like I'm somebody else when I answer the phone. God is saying, how do you ever expect to be debt-free if you won't take the steps? You are making this valley longer for yourself because you won't deal with what's in the valley. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, here's the part you got to get. David still had to walk through the valley. He didn't get to avoid the valley. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Now, Terrence, this is the thing that blew my mind about the text. Because if you read it, you got to read it slow. Reverend Johnson, he prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies in the valley. Oh, God. God is saying, look, you can still give me thanks in everything because I'm still doing what I need to do where you are. Surely goodness and mercy
as we stand all over the